Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
...24-19 Kansas. Does Dick have an answer? You bet he does! Grady Dick from straight on, and KU back up 8. Tomlin keeps it, but throws it right to Dick. Grady with the steal, 3-on-2. Grady ahead to Wilson. He'll try a 3. Bang! Jalen Wilson from the wing, and KU back up 8. Wilson to Zach. Oh, Zach, please. The 3 is good! Clemens left wide open. He answers. Clemens with his 3rd 3 of the season. Puts KU up. A Baker's dozen. Igiola was starting while they were shorthanded. Here's a 3. Drilled from the corner. Kevin McCullough reining in his 2nd 3 ball. And KU goes back up by 11. K-State can't get the hoop as Tomlin is blocked inside. Here comes Harris to the cup. Right hand layup good. He deked the Cats on the pass fake and laid it up and in. Tang wants them to foul once the ball gets to Pettifer, but instead Juan to the cup. Right hand runner good. Turn the lights off, say goodnight. That's going to do it with 1:20 to go. Hawks go up 13.
Bill, how much was the last game discussed? Was pride a factor tonight? They stormed the court and everything in Manhattan. And
you know what? I think pride's a factor whenever you play an in-state school. I'll be honest with you. We talked about beating K-State, but we didn't talk about beating K-State because of that. We talked about beating K-State in large part because they beat us the first time. And even though, you know, they won the game, deservedly so, you know, we didn't do many things to enhance our chances of winning the game in the last few possessions of regulation and overtime. So we felt like that it was one that could have gone the other way, and our guys certainly were ready to play tonight.
Come on.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810. WHB, Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. Oh boy, it's a new month. It's Wednesday, February 1st, 2023. Yeah. By the way, the Chiefs are still going to the Super Bowl. And AFC West teams are still desperately trying to catch the Chiefs. Trading more draft picks. Bringing in more coaches. Let me skip to the end here. It ain't going to work. But last night, Bill Self worked, and so did Kansas. And they won the rematch against Kansas State handily. 90-78 is heard right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So I'm sure that Nate is thrilled with that result from the Sunflower Showdown. So we'll get into that, especially later when we talk to Greg Gurley, who'll be on the show. The list of guests today begins with former excellent NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, who, of course, is on ESPN Radio before we are, with Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, one of Marco's favorite shows. And so we'll talk to Keyshawn Johnson about the Super Bowl, and then we'll talk to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com about the Super Bowl. Gary Lezak will give us a forecast. 8:05, Greg Gurley will talk about the Sunflower Showdown because he called it with the rest of the broadcast crew last night right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got Mike DePasquale, Mike's got picks, Mike's got this, and then our friend Nick Leckie in the 9 o'clock hour. So a full show for you from now until 10 o'clock. So I'm sure you're and also, hey, Mizzou plays tonight. Let's go. See if they can follow up on that big win against Iowa State by beating a team they're supposed to as they host LSU tonight, Marco. Mizzou favored by 10. Mizzou, and that's what you need. That's the test of really turning a program around. If sure, you can get big wins here and there, but don't have any big letdowns. Don't lose to any teams you shouldn't lose to at Mizzou Arena. And this is one of them. And this is a chance right now for Mizzou to put some wins together. They've had a very, very tough stretch where they've had, three of their last four games were against Arkansas, Alabama, and Iowa State. They had that Ole Miss game thrown in there, but now they can not, I don't want to say take a breath, but they get LSU at home. They play at Mississippi State. They get South Carolina at home before they have to turn it up an option. They have back-to-back road games at Tennessee and at Auburn. So let's see if they can put together a nice little winning streak before they have to take on one of the best teams in the nation in Tennessee. So we got college basketball on the brain. But, Nate, I'm sure you're thrilled with KU's performance against your arch rival Kansas State last night.
It was a good performance, yeah. We were talking yesterday that we thought the 7-point line seemed like a pretty big number, considering that Kansas hasn't really blown anybody out in the Big 12 and that K-State's a really good team this year. So they win by 12, they cover. I think the biggest difference in the game from last time around to this time around is what happened, what the two sides got from their benches. Because when KU lost in Manhattan, K-State outscored Kansas from the bench 27-8. Desi Stills had 24 points on his own off the bench for K-State. To me, he was kind of the, you know, the stars like Noel and Johnson and Jalen Wilson are going to show up. It's like, what else do you get that night? And Sills stepped up and was a stud and helped Kansas State win a really close game. This time, and Kansas didn't get anything from their bench. This time around, Kansas ended up with 19 points off the bench as opposed to 9 points by K-State, and they won by 12. So the bench came to play today, and also DeJuan Harris, you know, he's not a bench player, but he's like the fourth or fifth option offensively to score typically for Kansas, but he's got to be a threat to score because last time around, again, against K-State, He had two or 3 points the entire game. He hit 1 3-pointer. He was 1 of 7 from the floor. This time around, he goes for 18 points. And you know, I don't think that you need DeJuan Harris to go for 18 every night if you're Kansas, but he's got to be – the other team has to respect that he might be able to score the ball. Because if they don't, they can cheat over to other players, and then Kansas offense struggles. And so last night he stepped up, guys on the bench stepped up. So even though Jalen Wilson still had his typical 20-point night, he didn't have to have 38 like he did in Manhattan just to get that thing to overtime. And the rest of the team stepped up, and when Kansas plays like that, obviously they're a very, very good team and good enough to win the league. But Kansas, that was a must-win game, Stephen, for Kansas, in my opinion. I think Bill Self was asked that last night, and he wasn't willing to go there. But I mean, if you want to win this league, it's hard for me to picture being down effectively three games to K-State, and being down a couple games to Texas when you still got to play them twice halfway through the season. That would have been a pretty tall mountain to climb with half the season to go. And K-State's got really the toughest part of their schedule out of the way, by the way. If you look at where K-State's played so far, they've already played at TCU, they've already played at Baylor, they've already played at Texas, and now they've already played at Iowa State and at Kansas. So like, literally all of the toughest road games you could have are already off K-State's schedule. It doesn't mean they have an easy schedule. A lot of those teams still come to Manhattan, and those won't be easy games, but they've got the easiest path the rest of the way. And so you fall behind by two games plus a tiebreaker to K-State at this point in the season. It's hard for me to see a way back. So that win was massive for Kansas. I think it was pretty much a must-win game if they want to try to win the league. And now this race for the Big 12 is going to be absolutely insane the second half of the season.
Man, that Iowa State loss looks bad to Texas Tech.
Yeah, yeah. And
they were up 23 with 12 left, is that right?
I don't remember. But you wonder, like, how many teams are going to have a loss like that in the second half of the season? You know, that's why, I mean, Bill Self was asked yesterday after the game, you know, like, what do you think it's going to take to win the league? And he was like, man, I think five wins might get it done, or five losses might get it done. Four losses. Like, it's hard to picture somebody just losing one or two games the rest of the way. Texas is 7-2 right now. So maybe they only lose two and they could win the league with just four losses total. But, you know, it wouldn't be out of the question for a team with five or six losses to win the league, or at least a share of it. And because, like, you know, Texas Tech doesn't suck, right? Like, they're 0-8, but they're in all these close games. They're liable to win a couple of them. And so, like, who besides, like, if you're Iowa State, they've already dropped one of those games. The other teams that are in the running there in this four-way tie for second place, or Texas, like, how many of them lose a game like that at West Virginia? At Texas Tech, that probably is going to go a long way deciding the league too.
Iowa State was up 59-36 with 12:37 left in the game.
Jeez, oh man,
yeah, that's right now. That's what keeps them out of first place. Yeah, I don't know how many teams are going to have a loss like that. I mean, that will haunt you. 23-point lead with 12:37 left. So. And that's the difference in them being tied with everyone else, and versus being tied with Texas on top of the conference. So there you go. Kansas will win the league, though.
You think they'll win it outright, or do you think there'll be like a share of the spoils?
They'll probably win it outright. I don't see why not.
Well, they do.
All these other teams will have a loss like that to Texas Tech, or they'll somehow blow it, beat each other up, and Kansas will rise above the fray.
I mean, I wouldn't sit here and tell you that's far-fetched. Obviously, we've seen it happen before. But I'll tell you this much. If you look at KU's schedule, I talked about all the places that K-State's already played. KU's at Iowa State next this weekend. That ain't going to be easy. They still go to TCU and to Texas. Those are the three toughest road games they have left. Yeah. That's a tough schedule.
Defending champs, Nate.
Yep.
They won it all last year, you know.
I know that, but they don't really have the same players back for the most part. But
now you got the coach and the point guard. I'm good.
And they've and if their bench starts to play better, you know, if they start to get more production off their bench, then yeah, then they become championship material to me. That's the biggest thing. That they haven't had a true big man. They got some decent help off the bench by their bigs yesterday, and they haven't had much of a bench. So that could be a big development, what happened last night in that regard.
So Kansas wins this second edition of the Sunflower Showdown last night in Lawrence, 90-78, while TCU held off West Virginia 96-72. Tonight it's Bedlam. The luster's off that one.
Yeah.
So. Oklahoma, both teams 12-9. Oklahoma State 3-5. Oklahoma 2-6. And so those two fan bases can have at it. Everyone else, don't care. And then, as I mentioned tonight, Mizzou just needs to win against LSU with the ridiculous midweek tip-off of 8 o'clock. I think is stupid. So that's just me. They don't schedule the games for me. But if they did, it wouldn't be an 8 o'clock tip-off. I can promise you that. So
SEC Network? Yeah.
Stupid. That's all. Hey, just a quick commentary there. You know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, hell, 5 o'clock, 5:30, whatever. I've got an assortment of times that are better than 8 o'clock, so. but I'll be watching. You know,
not a fan of the 8 o'clock tip off either.
Keep these kids up. You want to watch this game? Come on.
At least college basketball is usually only about 2 hours. Yeah. That's the one saving grace. Unless there's 75 whistles or whatever it was last night.
Yeah, you know what? That game still ended like a little over 2 hours. That was good.
Have you watched SEC basketball?
Not much.
There's a quick whistle, buddy. There's a lot of fouls.
Well, there's. Did you see how many fouls there were last night?
How many?
Gosh, now I got to look back at the box score. It was
over 40.
You're asking questions you don't know the answer to.
Well, I don't know off the top of my head. Number.
Were you legitimately asking me, like, because you didn't know, or?
So there was 47.
47?
24 against K-State, 23 against Kansas.
It's almost like an equal punishment, like a
throws.
Parent.
Yeah. I'm sending you both to your rooms. Yeah.
Right.
And one technical on Tang, right?
Yep.
See, what was the game that, let me see, Mizzou, Arkansas from a couple of weeks ago had 56.
It's pretty
good. Arkansas was, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean,
and one broken head gasket from Eric Musselman.
Yeah. Well, that's.
There's only 40 minutes in a college basketball game, right?
Right. Yeah, 33 fouls against Arkansas. They foul a lot. Hey, what do we tell you?
Well, honestly, Bill, like, everybody's griping about that yesterday with the KU K-State game and saying there's no flow to the game and the refs are taking over, ref show, all that stuff. But I know that. Bill Self spoke after the game about it and said, the guy's got to adjust. You know, the players need to adjust. He said he's sure that the refs are getting their marching orders from the league, and the league's hearing everybody talking about how the Big 12's a rock fight every night. That was a phrase he used, that, you know, it's a physical league and it's not pretty basketball. And so the league's trying to make him adjust. So the league's telling them to call these fouls, and the players need to adjust.
All right. We'll take a break. Foul on Nate Buchanan. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hey everybody, Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind: integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call, 913-257-5426, Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. All right. The Broncos have a new coach again. We'll see if this one works. He's a good coach, though. They went out and they acquired Sean Payton. And this is interesting because Ian Rappaport was reporting on this yesterday, and he says that yesterday, this was the tweet that caught everyone's eye, the Broncos spent today trying to hire D'Amico Ryans again today before he recommitted to the Texans, sources say. When he agreed to terms with the Texans, they moved on and finalized the deal with Sean Payton. And so he says the Broncos over the last few weeks zeroed in on D'Amico Ryans, secretly tried to lure Jim Harbaugh from Michigan, negotiated a Sean Payton deal, tried to hire Ryans again, and then finalized the hire of Payton as their new coach. And it does not come without a price, because the Saints will receive the Broncos' 2023 first-round pick, which is number 29 overall, and 2024 second-round pick. For Payton and the Saints' 2024 third-round selection. The Broncos are also expected to make Payton one of the highest-paid head coaches in the league. And so the Broncos, remember, they had traded the first-round pick to the Seahawks for Russell Wilson, but then they acquired a first-round pick from the Dolphins in the deal that sent Bradley Chubb to Miami. And that pick originally belonged to the 49ers, who had sent it to Miami in the trade that allowed them to pick Trey Lance in the 2021 draft. And so this is Denver continues to spin their wheels. And so Sean Payton, I don't know, if you look at his career, obviously he was very successful with the Saints, with a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. They won the Super Bowl back in 2009. And when they won, I don't know if you guys agreed or not, but when they won it in 2009, I'm thinking, oh boy, Drew Brees has got a lot of miles left. Sean Payton is a fantastic coach. They might win a couple. They might win two or three. And they never got back. And I know there are some controversial losses in the playoffs, but they never got back to the Super Bowl. And so they underperformed. They had that stretch in 14, 15, and 16 where they went 7-9 every year and didn't make the playoffs for three straight years. Now, of course, they finished strong, and he won 11, 13, 13, 12, but could never get over the hump in the playoffs. And then ultimately his last year was 9-8. Now, overall, fantastic record, 152-89, was 9-8 in the playoffs, had that one run to the Super Bowl where they won it all, but never made it back in seven tries in the postseason after they won the Super Bowl. So, look, I don't think Russell Wilson is as good as Drew Brees was during that run with the Saints. I think he's a mess. Do I think the Broncos will be better with Sean Payton? Sure. I mean, they better be. They have to be. But, again, I think this is a battle for who's going to finish in second in the AFC West, because I just – that doesn't compel me to think that the Broncos are going to catch the Chiefs. Nate?
Fully agree. I guess you could – if you wanted to be an optimistic Broncos fan, you could look at it and say, well, there are some similarities between Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, both kind of undersized quarterbacks who are – mobile, not necessarily running quarterbacks, but guys that can move around in the pocket maybe and, you know, be active with their feet and then, you know, get the ball downfield. So maybe Sean Payton knows how to coach a guy like Russell Wilson to get the most out of him. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how much of Russell Wilson's struggles this year were because of terrible coaching, you know, like in terms of just offensive game plan, working with Russell Wilson and developing a connection with those other players, and how much of it was just Russell Wilson isn't that good at this point in his career. My guess is a little bit of both. So maybe, like you said, they'll be better. Hard for me to see this being the move. Oh, well, now they're going to beat the Chiefs. Because no matter, there's not a coach on this planet, not even Andy Reid, can make Russell Wilson as good as Patrick Mahomes. There's not a coach on this earth who can do that. Because Patrick Mahomes has everything that Russell Wilson is lacking. He's got more physical ability than Russell Wilson. He's a better leader than Russell Wilson has ever dreamed of being. And he's a better decision maker. He's everything. And so Wilson ain't catching Patrick Mahomes. And then you ask yourself, how can they assemble? Okay, the only way to beat Patrick Mahomes then is to assemble a team that's so much better than the Chiefs everywhere else. And how are the Broncos going to do that when they have no draft picks? So, yeah, they'll be better, but I don't see them knocking the Chiefs off their perch because of this move. No.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Keyshawn Johnson about the Super Bowl. We talked to him yesterday, and so the Sean Payton news hadn't happened, but I wouldn't ask him about that anyway because I want to talk to him about the Super Bowl, the team that actually is going to the big game out of the AFC, the Chiefs, and their matchup against the Eagles. So we'll talk to Keyshawn after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can hear him every morning before we come on the air on ESPN Radio. One of the hosts of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I'm talking about Keyshawn Johnson, a former great wide receiver, Super Bowl champion, and he's our guest right now. Keyshawn, good morning. How are you?
How you doing, man? Good morning.
Hey, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. Obviously, here in Kansas City, we're all very excited to see the Chiefs go to the third Super Bowl in 4 years. I'm just curious what you thought of that AFC championship game and the performances not only of Patrick Mahomes, but Chris Jones and that defense.
I was excited to see it happen. I'm a really good friend of Andy Reid, and I've been a friend of Eric Bieniemy's, and growing up, just the whole aspect of that particular football game, the revenge factor to get Cincinnati, the loss to them a year ago, to kind of get that revenge and heading to Arizona. Patrick Mahomes played a gutsy performance out one leg, although I felt like a couple times he was milking it a little bit for the TV cameras, but that's just me. But he is, look, in 5 years, he's probably the best quarterback to ever do it. Certainly Kansas City, Chris Jones and Frank Clark and the rest of that cast of characters, a young secondary, they certainly took care of business. Even with the push out in the extra 15 yards, I still felt like if that game would have gone into overtime, Kansas City would have won.
You know, you mentioned the young secondary, and there were so many rookies, so many members of this draft class that were on the field on both sides of the ball and special teams, but that secondary gets a lot of attention because after L'Jarius Sneed went out, they were depending on rookie corners and a rookie safety. Four guys in that secondary that were on the field. How impressed were you with that collection of rookies all having to play against one of the best wide receiving groups in the NFL?
Extremely impressed. I thought McDuffie is going to be a hell of a player. I think that when you look at Cook at the safety spot, you know, he had the one penalty that wasn't all that costly. I mean, I thought he drove on the ball well. He just got there a tick too early. But for the most part, those guys will continue to grow as they play. They'll continue to grow in that position, and they'll be better for it as time goes on.
You know, Keyshawn, you talk about your relationship with Andy Reid, so I'd like to get a little more thoughts on him from your perspective, because ever since he came to Kansas City, the Chiefs have known nothing but winning records. They've been to the playoffs every year except for one, and of course, since Patrick Mahomes got here, they just host the AFC Championship game every year. That's what they do. And when he was in Philly, he got to four NFC Championship games. As a guy that knows him so well, I guess my two-part question is, What is it about him in your mind that makes him such a consistent winner? And number two, where does he rank as far as coaches that you've been around in your lifetime? Because I know you've been around some great ones.
Well, he's right there with Belichick, with Parcells. I mean, he's right there. I mean, pick your poison, Tony Dungy. All of them are, you know, all great coaches are the same. They get the end result. It doesn't matter how you mix it up, how you put it in the oven, what temperature is the same at 350 to 400, the timing is the same at 30 minutes, and then when it comes out, it all is a piece of whatever you put in that oven. It may taste different because some people have a little spice to it. Some people's a little bland depending on how you look at it. Some people's a little more fun with it. But in the end result is all that matters. Do you win? Have you advanced me as a professional? Did you get the most out of me? Did you fail me as a head coach? And I think when you answer that, all of those things go in Andy Reid's favor, just like those other guys. They helped me advance in life. They taught me how to do things right on and off the field. I won a lot of games with them. I made a lot of money. I won championships with them. That's all that matters.
Keyshawn Johnson is our guest. And one other question about the Chiefs before I ask you about the Eagles. There was so many different opinions all over the board after the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill for that group of draft picks. And they went out and spent those picks on guys like McDuffie and Cook and Karloftis and were able to replenish that defense. They spent money on guys like Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS and went out and they were, you know, aggressive and trying to spread that money around that they would have paid Tyreek Hill. I'm just curious, based on what you expected the Chiefs to be without Tyreek Hill, how do you think they utilized all those assets they acquired in that trade, and do you think they became a better team without him?
I think they became a different team. There's no way you could become a better team when you lose Tyreek Hill. You become a different team, and I think they became a different team. He certainly was a major asset for them when he was there, and a lot of people, not including, I'm going to exclude myself from the situation because I took a lot of heat. Not only from Tyreek Hill, but from other people about they're going to be fine. They're just going to do it different. Instead of going three plays, 80 yards, they're going to go nine plays, 80 yards for a touchdown. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, what did you, you know, that whole, you know, the Twitter world. And you laugh at that because I think I know a little bit about sports. And Tyreek Hill is a phenomenal football player, great football player. But for the cost to keep him, it wasn't worth it if you can split that money up amongst everybody else and put it in positions of need. And I think that that is what Andy Reid and company decided to do. Position of need, here's what we need, here's what we want to do. We'd love to have Tyreek, but it's not worth it to us because we become two-dimensional. We become Kelce Hill. Now my quarterback can drop back and spread it to 15 different dudes, and it may take us a little longer to score, but that's okay.
All right, Keyshawn, this Super Bowl itself, I mean, you're talking about the number one seed from each conference, teams with identical records in a regular season. You were just talking to Steven about roster building and in the NFL, the teams that do that the best. I keep hearing people say, man, that the Eagles from top to bottom might have the best roster in the NFL. The Chiefs might have the best player in the NFL. How good is this Super Bowl matchup, and what may be some thoughts you have going into it as we get a lot of time now to get ready for it?
The one thing that I would say is that they do have probably the best magical player in the National Football League, but they also have a bunch of other players that, depending on who you're asking, could say whatever they want to say about a player. You know, opinions on players differ depending on who you ask. Some would say Chris Jones is the best defensive player on the field. Some would say not so true. Some would say Hassan Reddick is. Some would say Patrick Mahomes can't throw from the pocket. All he can do is scramble and run around. It just depends on who you're talking to. So I never won in my career, both as a player and as an analyst, pay attention to what the masses say. I form my own opinion. These are two dynamic forces. You know, they say, well, Bradberry and company and Slayton company is going to be able to handle the receivers or Hardman and Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS. They're going to be able to take care of them. I don't know that. I don't know that to be true. I do know that they're going to go up against them. And I do know that based on the defensive side of the ball, for Philadelphia may have people leaning toward the defensive side of the ball versus those receivers, but I don't necessarily see it that way. You know, I look at things totally different than the way mass media and analysts look at stuff. You know, and so when I approach it, it's going to be a hell of a football game. You know, you got Jalen Hurts, who is going to now have to try to match Patrick Mahomes, potentially throw for throw. He'll have 2 weeks off. His shoulder will probably be well healed. You know, they're going to try to have to stop the running game in Kansas City because Philly likes to run the ball. They like to go play action pass with Jalen Hurts. Kansas City's going to have to try to stop the RPO game when they decide to use it. So it just all depends. Andy Reid's going to have to out-coach Nick Sirianni. Andy Reid's been in this position multiple times. Nick Sirianni didn't. Sean McVay went up against Bill Belichick in his first Super Bowl after having a high-flying attack, and he wet the bed in his first Super Bowl. So you know what I'm saying? So you just don't know what you're going to get.
And so that brings up an interesting point, because you would think if there's one advantage that the Chiefs have, you know, look, Jalen Hurts is great, but still Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Andy Reid, who's been through it all many times, versus a young coach in Nick Sirianni. And so what about the matchup between the head coaches and coaching staffs in this game?
Well, I'm going to lean toward Kansas City. That's not even a question. Andy Reid coming off a bye, we know what that means historically. You can talk about it on your show later on, but we all know, right? We know what he does after the bye. There's a bye essentially in this thing before the Super Bowl. Now, everybody says Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Okay, that is true. But if you can drive, why fly? And maybe that's the approach that Philadelphia comes with and says, well, we can drive, we don't need to fly. And maybe Andy Reid and company says, well, we'd rather fly because we get there quicker. You just don't know. We got to let the game play and see it.
Hey, Keyshawn, my final question for you, I wanted to ask you, because I think you'd give a great perspective, because you were such a great receiver. I know he's listed as a tight end, but there's not many better at catching passes and catching touchdowns than Travis Kelce. I'm just curious, from your perspective, what stands out to you most about his game and why he continues to be so effective at this stage in his career?
Well, he's big, he's athletic, he's fast for a tight end, he's elusive, he drops his hips, he gets in and out of break, he has soft hands, and he's a willing participant. Some people aren't willing participants. You know, they want to be willing participants until it gets rough on them. And all of a sudden, they turn things down. Well, that's not him. He's got a certain swag about him, and it's infectious amongst his teammates. You can see it. I've been around him. I've enjoyed him every single time I've been around him. And that's what makes guys like that good.
Keyshawn, how excited are you for the halftime show, man? I got there's guys that are playing in this Super Bowl that are saying they want to know if they can go out and watch the halftime show. Are you fired up for that?
You know, I'm having a Super Bowl party, so I'm sure I'll walk past and watch it. It just depends on how much of my tequila I'll be drinking.
How many? Okay, I had an AFC Championship game party, but I'm thinking Keyshawn Johnson's Super Bowl party is slightly cooler than my AFC Championship game party. How many people get invited to your party? And like, can you describe the scene at least a little bit for us?
I think it's going to be close to 300 people.
Okay.
It's all RSVP. It's all, you know, people that we kind of know in our professional lives. Some, you know, just L.A. I live in L.A., so it's about 300 people or so. It's TVs everywhere. You know, it's a Super Bowl party. TVs everywhere, alcohol flowing, you know, food. I'm sure there'll be, you know, California is a cannabis state. I'm sure there'll be some cannabis flowing in certain areas. So it'll be a fun party. It'll be fun.
My God, I'd rather be at your party than the actual game.
Yeah,
by
please.
The description of that. That's where I want to go.
It won't be quite like my birthday party, but it'll be turned up, I'm sure.
Oh, that is fantastic. All right, before we let you go, I know it's early. We still don't know about injuries and everything else, but just an early lean, what's your gut telling you about who wins the Super Bowl?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you.
Damn it, Keyshawn.
All right.
I'm not going to tell you because if I tell you, you get mad.
Oh, no.
Don't tell me then.
Yep.
Lie to me.
I don't know. Let's talk 2-3 days before the game, and I'll let you know.
All right, let's do that. Hey, yeah. Man, we appreciate the time again. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max every morning on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, we hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, thank you.
That's the great Keyshawn Johnson. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we're going to hear some postgame from Bill Self and Jerome Tang after Kansas beat Kansas State last night. Nate Bucati will set that up since he wants to really rub all of K-State's noses in this loss last night at the hands of Kansas.
Is that right?
Yeah. I know you.
Well, I know past behavior would indicate I might do something like that. I'm a changed man, Stephen.
I know you like a book I've read many times. I know you like The Outsiders.
But maybe I'm still a work in progress. You know, maybe I continue to grow and evolve.
Nope. Old dog. No new tricks for you.
I disagree with that phrase. Old dogs can learn new tricks. Sure.
Well, come over here and help me teach Danny some things.
Now, the dog Danny has to be a willing participant.
That's all I'm going to say. Don't ask any questions. Don't ask any other questions, all right?
Yes, sir.
Our man Danny, who has been classified as overweight and companion to Augie, Danny has a condition that has led him to be shaved, and over the past day or two, he's been wearing a pair of underwear and a shirt.
Oh my stars!
he looks like an old man anyway, you know. And so he's
just got a t-shirt and underwear on.
I got home yesterday, and he had a t-shirt and underwear on. I said, "Look at this guy! You're living the life, aren't you? Like laying on the pillow on the side, looking at him like, ah, well." Like, what did you do today? Nothing, just laid around. And then, so today you have to, you know, today he's wearing a polo. One of the kids, I think one of the boys' polos they wore, they used to wear to school when they were younger. So, little three buttons. He's got two buttons buttoned, the top one's unbuttoned.
Yeah, business casual.
So,
So you're dressing him for fun, or like he
has
a condition?
He has a condition. He's been scratching himself raw in a very tender place. So. Mm. it's not funny, guys. It's funny to see him wearing what he's wearing right now, but the reason, it's just something going on there. He had like an irritation, and sometimes you get there, start scratching, and all of a sudden you've done some damage. That's all,
Well,
but now he's wearing a polo. Now he's well-dressed.
Yeah, I mean, you got to laugh at the absurdity of your circumstances, no matter who you are, right?
That's
right.
At sometimes. The end, he wins, because now he's the best-dressed doggy on the block. So, very happy. We will take a break. Back after this on WHB.